The following message is brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
Hallelujah. Lord, we love you. Today, yes, today is one of those days that we've never seen before. And after it's gone, we're not going to see it again. With things going on in this world, we can't help but say, hallelujah. Glory to his name. Power, dominion from the uttermost. He is worthy. He is worthy. He's worthy to be praised. I don't know about you, but I can speak for my house. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I don't believe you heard me. I said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Because he's been too good. He's been too good to me. Somebody know what I'm talking about. He didn't have to do it this morning. Thank God he did. He didn't have to touch this morning with his healing power, but he did. He didn't have to let us breathe his air this morning, but he did. Hallelujah. 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 To the highest praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's something about that word that just make me feel good to know that I have a God on my side. I'm not going to trouble you long, but I had to push that out there because church, peoples of the church, peoples of this building, it's time to say hallelujah. It's time to praise him. It's time to give God what is due God. It's time, God, please, don't make him wait. Father God, in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, Lord God, from eternity to eternity, the things seen and unseen, thou art God. Lord, we want to thank you for this is the day that you have given us. Lord, you said we should rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, we want to do your will, Lord. Not our will, but your will be done. Father God, we come today with a message in our mind and in our heart. Father God, praying that someone will receive your word and give reverence to you. Father God, we love you. We extol you. We just magnify your holy and your righteous name. Father God, we want to thank our pastor and in his absence for allowing me this day to say a word in favor of you. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. As we get ready to go into our message for today, I'll be reading to you from the New King James Version of the Bible. And we'll be starting at Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 8. Those of you that are able to stand, please stand for the word of God. Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 8. When you have it, signify by saying amen. If you don't have it, say wait. And it reads as follows. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here am I. Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mount of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and sell his donkey and took his two young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, the lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood, the burnt offering, and the lad and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, my father, he said, here I am, my son. Then he said, look, the fire in the wood. Then he said, look, the fire in the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? We're going to stop there. You may be seated. I've chosen for subject where you'll find in verse number 8, the Lord will make a way somehow. The Lord will make a way somehow. I want to welcome my son, Tommy Jr., him and his wife, Brother Tyrone, all of you that come as visitors and those that don't know me, my name is Pastor Tommy Lampkin. Hope that you have a blessed time today. We're here about God's business, none of our own, sincerely about God's business. Father, we stretch our hand to thee because there's no other help that we know. In this world, Republican, Democrat, society after societies, all this upbuilding, bringing down threats and stuff that's going on, I can tell you one thing. If God is not the root or the head, there's no good news that will ever come to you. We watch the news daily, and day by day we hear threats, things that's going on between the powers that be. But I can tell you that there is only one power, and that's God's power. Everything must, and I say that again, everything in this world must come to the reality that God is supreme and that God is truly real. In Genesis 22, we find, and God will make a way somehow after these things. After these things, Lot had got captured by the enemy, and Abraham got his men together and went and fought and got his nephew Lot. After these things, after the angels came down, went by Abraham's house, stopped in and sat down at the table and described to Abraham that they was going on their way to Sodom and Gomorrah to destroy it. Abraham pleaded with them that if I could find 10 men that believe in God, would he save the city? The angel said, yes, if you can find 10 men, we will spare that city of Gomorrah. After these things, after pleading with them, after Hagar had birthed a son, and then God had told Abraham to put out sister Hagar and Ishmael out of their house. After all of these things, after Sarah was barren, they thought, and couldn't have any children. After these things, after her handmaid gave birth to Ishmael, they was put out doze. And after these things, after 25 years of waiting, after the promise was needed and been repeated, after hope had been excavated to it high and turned into a pitch and turned into reality, after little Isaac was born. After these things, God did tempt Abraham. This last trial that Abraham had to go through with God was the hardest trial that he ever had to go through. So I say to you that there is one school that one man will never graduate from, That's the school of trouble. You hear what I say? There's one school that you cannot escape from, and that's trouble in your life. You can go from here to Texas, Mexico, Alaska, wherever you want to go in this world. Airplane, train, bus, however you want to go. But there's one thing that you cannot escape, and that's trouble. You get to your motel room, trouble will meet you there. You get to your table, trouble will sit down and eat with you there. You go to bed late at night, trouble will get in the bed with you. There's always trouble. Jesus said, in this life, you will have trials and tribulation. In this life, we will all have troubles. As long as you live, you will have trouble. Songwriters say, trouble in my way. I have to cry sometime. So much trouble, I have to moan sometime. But I know one thing. Through Jesus, he make everything all right. Trouble can handle man, but trouble cannot handle God. See, when you fall out on your knees and you tell God all about it, God can move the trouble out the way. Trouble was in my way until I found out this man called Jesus. Now I can look to Jesus. Look to the hill which come all of my help. Trouble don't have nothing on Jesus. So I say to you that there's a school that no man never graduate from, the school of trouble. I don't care if you go all over the world, but trouble will be there. Even David, a man after God's own heart. David knew God, but yet and still, David had troubles. David had men, soldiers, would bow down at his feet. David sat up on the high throne. David had money go lower. David had everything that you think a man would want. But David had trouble. David said that if I had wings as a dove, I would take wings and fly to the othermost part of the world. And there I would be at rest. But I got you, Brother David. I can tell you one thing, that you can fly to the other parts of the world, but trouble is there also. Trouble is right there waiting on you when you get there. I know people that went on vacation, got to turn around and come back off vacation, because before they got where they could get to, trouble had happened back here. All this sermon ain't about trouble. But I just want to let you know how to avoid trouble, because I know that Jesus will make a way somehow. I got good news for you. Jesus will make a way for you somehow. After David said what he had said, and I will have but troubles and trials and tribulation, you can't get away from. After all of this, I believe I said, sit down and eat with you. Jesus said, you shall have troubles, so we may as well prepare for it. Sometimes we have to hear something. We have to see something. We have to feel something. We have to go through something. sometime before we can understand some things. God did tempt Abe. There is a difference between God tempting or his temptation and Satan's temptation. God's temptation is to take the worst out of you and put the good in you. But Satan's temptation is to take the good out of you and put in the hurt for you. You see, God is for your good. Satan is for your worst. That's all he wants to do is put his worst into you, to hurt you, and to do what he can to knock the props waste under you. After these things, here was a test. Abraham, take thy only son, whom thou love. Take him up on Mount Moriah. Here's a perfect picture of Jesus. Isaac had the wood. Jesus had the cross on his way up to Mount Calvary. You can see it here that both of them going up the mountainsides. God had to take things sometime from you. Sometime God had to take something that you love from you to make you see him. Sometime God moved things out of your way that you looking at, lusting after, knock the props away under your feet so you can get back intact with him. See, I want to tell you something. God said, I am a jealous God. I will have no other God before me. I tell a story all the time about the young man, the sheep herder, about his little sheep that kept breaking all the other sheeps out. All the sheep herder, he kept running behind this little sheep. Oh, stop, don't do that. Don't. He had to go pulling his hair out behind this little sheep because he was disobedient. Oh, he was so disobedient that he would break the others out and make them act up. Well, one day, the sheep herder got tired of this little obedient sheep breaking out the other sheep. He took to himself a stick and he went to the little sheep and he broke all four of his legs. And then one of the other sheep herders come along and said, well, why did you do this to this little sheep? He said, because I loved him. Well, how can you love him if you broke all four of his legs? He said, I'll tell you why I love this little fella. He said, the reason why, said, when he had all four of his legs, he wouldn't listen to me. Said, but now that he can't go nowhere, he can't help but to listen to me. You see, sometimes God got to knock the props away on us so that we can sit still long enough to hear what he got to say. Because we're so busy going here and there, till we don't have time for God anymore. So God has to touch us every once in a while. God has to let something happen in our life. God has to take that house away from us. Take that car away from us. Take the things that we love the most and move it out of the way. I tell you one thing about God. This is how God is. This is how jealous that God is about you. God will either move it out the way or God will move you out of its way. That's how jealous God is. God will move those things out of the way. Because God wants what best for us. You know, we got to do sacrifice. We got to sacrifice things for God. God wants us to sacrifice. Sacrifice ourselves. What you mean, Pastor? I mean, in our praise, we got to give sacrifice. In our giving, we got to sacrifice. In our love, we got to sacrifice those people that we might not feel so good about sometime. We got to sacrifice. You know, I know where you're going with this, Pastor, but now some people's in their giving, they want to give God a dollar. I thought I'd get some amens on that. But now, I hear you saying, well, if salvation is free, a dollar ought to be enough, right, Pastor? But God want our best. God want our best. Your best praise, your best service, your best singing, your best life. God wants your best. God wants your best. I believe that got him in trouble in the beginning. One brother going to give God his best and the other one going to just throw God some stuff. Huh? Cain and Abel. Abel did the right thing. Cain, nah, I don't care. I'll just give God any kind of old junk. Junk will get you in trouble with God. You ought to be willing to give God your best. He gave his best. God gave his only begotten son. Now here's Abraham. He crying, moping, and slobbing at the mouth. God, I'm not sure I'm hearing you right. God said, I want your best. I want the one that you love. I want what you love more than me. I want to move that out the way. You see, sometimes you ever seen favoritism between mother, child, and daughter or something like that. And, you know, I love this one more than I love that one. Remember Joseph? What happened to Joseph? Father loved him more than he loved the other one. Look at what they took that father through. Almost killed the old man because of loving one more than the other. More than the other will get you in trouble. The Bible tells us, God said that you cannot love two masters. You gotta love one and hate the other. Or despise the other one. I believe the songwriter said that it ain't easy to love two nothing. Men can't love no two women. Women can't love no two men. Who was it? Little Milton, one of them, I believe it was Little Milton, said, baby, trying to love two sure ain't easy to do. Somebody know what I'm talking about. Got an amen on that. Trying to love two. God said, I'm a jealous. I'm a jealous God. Your maximum, your minimum requirement to God is your best. Your best. No bottom line. Your best. God requires that. Your best. And I'm not, this sermon is not about tithing. I'm not preaching on tithes. I'm preaching on your best. Your best. God wants your best. He told me to say that. I like to have your best. Because I love you enough, I give you my best. I wake you up in the morning time. I let you go to work. Do you know that God allowed you to go to work? Those of us that still work, do you know that God allowed you to get in your car and crank it up? Because some of us can just go out there and get in the car and just sit there because we can't drive. But the other thing is that God wants to let you know that I love you unconditionally, that whatever you want, if you love me, I give it to you. God wants us to know that. There's no illness that God can't heal. There's no heartache that God can't smooth. There's no worry on your mind that God can't just bring happiness in your life. Oh, I know what I'm talking about. I've been there. Abel, I call him Abe. Abraham, take thy only son, whom thou lovest. Take him for a sacrifice up on Mount Moriah. Abraham, oh, there was no mud between his ears. He heard God loud and clear. Abraham, he didn't have to say, "Hear my God." He didn't have to do like Adam said, "Where art thou, I?" Where art thou, Adam? Adam thought he was hiding from God. But there's no place where you can go that God is not present. There's nowhere in this world, out of this world, because God built it all. God did it all. God is there. Take their only son, whom thou lovest. Get him ready to be sacrificed. God didn't tell him to take him over to Reverend Lampkin's house. He didn't say take him over to Reverend Finley's house and let him do the sacrifice. God didn't give him nothing about how to do it. He just told him to do it himself. Take thy only son, whom thou lovest. Take him up to Mount Moriah for a sacrifice unto me. Why would God say this to Abraham? Why would God put him in a situation like this? At this time, I believe Abraham thought that he was getting the wrong phone call from God. He thought the wires was crossed because he knew that back in the day, God had promised him that his seed would become, that he would be over all nations. So Abraham is questioning himself, like, could this be God? Could this be truly God on the line? Or am I getting mixed interference? But God said, before this little child was born, before little Isaac was born, God had all of Abraham's attention. God could just say the word and Abraham was, "Yes, master." He had all Abraham praise. He had all of Abraham worship. He had everything that he needed from Abraham. But here come little Isaac. And then Abraham start turning his attention to little Isaac. God get busy when you put things in front of him. God sometimes step back and see how far you're going to go with that. God just step back and stop talking. Oh God, you don't never want God to stop talking. For 3 long days, God wouldn't say nothing. I would never want to be the children of Israel. But God shut up heaven, stop talking to them, looking for an answer to what is and what is to be. But God is not saying nothing. My God, why is God not saying nothing? God is standing back to see whether you is truly a friend of God's. Are you truly a friend of mine? What God's saying, do you really love me? Do you love me as much as you say I do? Do you love me like you get down on your knees and pray every night? God, stop talking. Stop talking in the midst of all. In the midst of leaving him blanked. In the midst of leaving him with a mind full of thoughts. In the midst of wondering, what shall I do next? In the midst of wondering, is he going to come through or is he not going to come through? Is he going to let me go head on and kill my own son, or whether he going to step in and intervene this thing? God, stop talking. After all, God want all of our attention. But then he started giving all this love to little Isaac. God don't want nothing to get between him and you. You know, we was talking back in the back, and one of the brothers was back there praying. He was talking about an eclipse. And those of you that don't know what an eclipse is or heard what an eclipse is when the sun and the moon come in contact and the moon block the vision of the sun. Perfect picture of God. God don't want nothing blocking you from him. Eclipse gonna make it a little dark for a little while. Gonna make it whole, all everything gonna be dark. When you get blocked from God, your life becomes dark. Your whole life, your world turns dark. There's no light because the light of God has been moved away from you. People's all around rushing to the spot. Rushing to the spot. Glasses that you look at it with $100 a pair. Hotel rooms, $2,000. Just a little tent costs $900. All of this just to see an eclipse. My God, my God. The Creator is standing back looking. This is God's creation. Man is worshiping things more than he's worshiping God. Out of all this rushing from place to place, I haven't heard anybody say God. I haven't heard anybody gave the credit to God for whatever it is to be. I'm not in a hurry to go to no eclipse. I want to see Jesus. That's good enough for me. I don't want to know. This might be their last time. We don't know. But I ain't rushing to nothing. Yeah, I told you about little Milton. Told you about the eclipse. God said that I am jealous You know, in the book of Isaiah, you find these words. In the year that King Uzziah died, he said, I saw the Lord sitting up high in his train filled the temple. You know, until God moved Uncle Uzziah out of the way, he couldn't see nothing but Uncle Uzziah. He ate at Uzziah's table. He got his heat from Uzziah's fire. Then when he got sick, he got Uzziah's doctors to take care of him. When he got hungry, he sat down at Uncle Uzziah's table. And when he wanted his clothes clean, he went to Uncle Uzziah's tailor's. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Sometimes in our life, we can't see clearly because Uncle Uzziah is in our favor. Uncle Uzziah is doing everything that we think God can do. Uncle Uzziah is feeding us, giving us money to go in our pocket, taking us here and there, keeping us occupied, all from God. That's the way it works, isn't it? The adversary always want to keep us occupied with something else. Instead of, you know, you trying to do your homework. I'm talking about biblical. You reading the Bible, the phone ringing. You get back in the, somebody knocking at the door. Then you get back in the Bible, somebody out there beep, 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 bumping the horn. And I don't know why they still shooting fireworks. Lord have mercy. The Reds weren't even playing. We got to give sacrifice. Take thy son and offer him up for sacrifice. He said that he would become the father of many nations. But no, he tell him now, God is telling him to kill his son. Is God telling him to do something that God wouldn't do himself? Whatever God tell you to do, my advice to you is just do it. God said, I won't put no more on you than you can bear. I won't tell you to do something that's going to hurt you. I won't tell you something to do that will send your soul to hell. I won't tell you something that will get you in trouble with me. It's what God is saying. Just do what he said. When God told over Abraham, he got up early in the morning because he didn't want to keep God waiting. That's what's wrong with the churches today. They're keeping God waiting. They're keeping him waiting. Sinners sitting in the back and want to come forward. Just before the closing, they get up and leave. We got to sacrifice. I heard a preacher preach one time, we got to get our hands dirty. We got to help these peoples to come on in the building. It's okay. It's okay to give it over to God because God is the only thing in this world that we have. Yeah, we have things. We have possessions. But we can't take that with us. We're not working for 70 years and then retiring. We're working for eternity. This is for eternity, a place after death. Some of us have died one time. We already done died. Now we got to get ready to live for eternity. This is forever. He didn't want to keep him waiting. So he got up. He got the two servants. He got the fire, the wood, and the knife and the rope. And he started for Mount Moriah. God didn't say nothing for 3 whole days. Can you see Abraham? Can you see him, picture him in your mind, walking along the dusty path, walking step by step, mind going crazy? Here it is, God telling me to kill my own son, the one who I love, my only son. How many of you know that it wasn't Abraham's son in the first place? God lending to Abraham. God gave him to him so he would see whom you love the most. Want to see Abraham? Will you do what I tell you to do? But all 3 days, all this journey, he waiting on God to say something. You ever been that way? Husband, wife, honey, boo. You ever been that way? You want them to say something, but they don't say nothing to you. Just quiet all the way around the house. The dog won't say nothing. Cat won't say nothing. The bird won't even tweet. Say something. Just say something. Nothing. For 3 whole days. 3 days is a long time. I just tell my wife, talk to me. Say something. Is there something wrong? Get a little word when you don't say nothing. You know, you think you done did something. You know you ain't did nothing, but they be making you think you done something. And they be just looking at you, curving them eyes. Lord have mercy, what's going on here? I did pay the bills, didn't I? Lord have mercy, I had to throw that in them for free. Nevertheless. 3 days. That's a long time. That's a long time to wait on God to say something. I don't know what I would do if God didn't say something to me every day. God talked to me every day. I mean every day. Don't he, you? Deacon? Still? I know. You ain't got to tell me. God talk to you every day, whether you realize it or not. You going on, don't go that way. Turn here. Your mind don't even be on where you're going. You're just going. God have to get you back intact. Hey, wait a minute. You're supposed to be on 75, not 71. God talk to you. God talk to you. Let me prove it. Where God is talking, God said, I am a jealous God. God is talking. He in here. He in this word. He's in this word here. He's in the Bible. He's talking to you. God said, I have no other God beside me. He's talking to you. I love you. I died for you. I done all these things for you. I know y'all tired of hearing me. I'm going to get on through this thing real quick here. And every round, get a little higher. Round by round, Abraham, Isaac, headed up to this mountain. Mount Moriah. He told his servants, "So y'all stay here. Me and the young lad, we going over yonder." Oh, y'all don't know yonder. That's southern talk. Yonder. Yeah, over there, over yonder. City people say over there. We said down yonder by Cootie Creek. Yeah, we talk slang. Cajun is worse than we are. You never understand them. But nevertheless, he said, "Y'all stay right here. We got to go yonder." And I'm quite sure he pointed. Sometime in your life, Christian, you got to look your loved one in the eye. And you got to tell them, "You stay here till I go yonder." Oh, it's a hurting thing to do. Kids going off to college. Spouse going off to a new job. Look you in your eye and tell you, "You stay here. I gotta go yonder." Worst thing I hated was when my kids growed up. All along as they were little bitty fellas, I was happy. But then there came a time when they growed up and they had to go yonder while I stayed here. Oh, how that make your heart tumble sometimes. You worry about them day and night. You get that phone call and you don't know what to do, whether to answer it or whether or not to answer it. Oh, when your children are distant from you, you don't get much sleep. Because of you, I just heard something went on where they was at. And I'm wondering, was my child in the mess? You stay here while I go yonder. Oh, God, just making sure, covering all bases. Do you love me? Do you trust me? God said, "Do you trust me today with your life, with your child's life, with your family life? Do you trust me? Can you put your whole trust in me? Can you love me?" Look, if I don't tell you nothing else, we walk a faith walk. We walk by faith, not by sight. We believe in the unseeable. We believe in God even though we can't see him. Long, and I'm finna get ready to close. Long as David saw that the valley was green and the water was flowing, David was all right. He was all right with God. But as soon as the grass started turning brown, as soon as the water started drying up, David said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in his green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Long as that, David was all right. David had favor with God. David knew what God wanted. But then David said, if I had wings like a dove, I'll fly away. If you don't know, or if you don't believe anything I have said here today, I know the Lord will make a way somehow. As we get ready to open the doors of the church, if you don't mind, will you turn songbook to 286? Like a ship that tossed and driven, batted by.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message.